At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Carolina,
RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment now. And again, thank you to all our great guests on Breakthrough Sports. And of course, Greg, we had Mike Neely, president of the Phoenix Coyotes. We had Barry Bloom, MLB.com. John Hoven, MayorsManor.com. A great time, great sports. And now it's entertainment. Joseph Ardo. Erdo.
Erdo.
Why did I say Ardo?
I don't know. Why?
I wanted to see if you were paying attention, and he is. Joseph Erdo is in the house. I did it deliberately.
How long have we been doing this?
Only 14 years.
Don't worry. He messed up. I don't know if you were in the screening or not, but in the first hour.
What did I say?
He said a famous hockey player wrong who he's been following for 30 years.
Yari Curry. Yari. I still say it. Yeah, I'm sick of the Yari.
He says everyone's last name wrong.
No, I don't even say your last name wrong.
We have Tyler Nickel, who writes for us on sportsbreakthrough.com.
So I spelled it not like a nickel.
Who's been, joining us on some of our sports shows online. And when he walked in, Dave forgot his last name completely, even though he obviously knows
I asked him before the show, though. That was better.
No, it was a week ago when you did. So just know that it's just Dave.
All right, let's start again. 1480 AM KPHX, Joseph Erdo.
Well, I can't fake the enthusiasm
can fake it.
Yeah, you don't even know who I am.
Yeah, you could fake it till you make
it. I'm hurt.
Wait. You hurt my John feelings. Hurt? John Hurt,
no,
the great
John,
actor?
You hurt.
Oh, you hurt. You like U-Haul. Yeah, I remember. Eric, let's get you back in here. And Should he be hurt just because I pretended to pronounce his name wrong?
Were you really pretending?
Yes.
Okay, well, then he should not be hurt.
All right. See, we did it. I have an ally.
Oh, yeah, you have an
or
ally.
Or I have an alibi. I don't know which one.
I'm like Judge Judy here, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just got in from a screening of Epic, which you won't know anything about until next Saturday. So.
Yeah, but I won't be here next Saturday. But I'll be listening,
you'll be listening
on my phone app.
Yeah.
The 1480 phone app. We got to get everyone to have a phone app.
Of course.
Eric, how do they get the phone app?
Well, just go to, if you have an iPhone, you can go to the iPhone store and download it. It's free. And if you just look for 1480 KPHX, and there it is. And if you have an Android, you can do the same thing on Google Play.
That is awesome. I love that stuff. Really. Yeah. Then they can hear us all the time.
No matter where they
are. On Saturdays.
As long as they have some kind of phone connectivity.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. So, okay. Yeah. So, Breakthrough Entertainment every Saturday here. Usually from 11 to 12, and we'll probably go back 11 to 12 next Saturday.
Yeah, it's just occasionally when, like I said, there was a screening of Epic this morning, and we'll talk about that next Saturday at 11 o'clock, the normal time for Breakthrough Entertainment. But, they it's very important that I see these movies, right?
And you have popcorn, too. Do you eat popcorn
still? I didn't have popcorn at this time.
Why? Popcorn's so delicious.
Yeah.
And nutritious.
I know.
And delicious.
That's okay. It was morning. It was early. The screening was at 10:30.
I see cold pizza
in
the morning.
Dave eats popcorn at all hours.
Yeah.
And if you go to a movie with him ever, it's a little embarrassing sitting next to him because his mouth is open while he's eating the popcorn. Yeah. He takes a big handful.
How do you eat popcorn with your mouth closed? Come on.
Yeah, I open it and I chew it up and then keep it closed. You can tell everyone around will be going, "Oh, that guy that looks like Ron Jeremy just eating popcorn with his mouth open.
Terrible.
We can't hear the movie."
No, I'm very polite. He's just kidding.
Yeah.
Security?
No, he does the Peter Griffin thing when Peter's eating food and he kind of does it silently, like if he's keeping food away from someone, like he's sneaking it. That's what he'll do because everyone will look at him and he'll go, "Oops, I'm probably being too loud." And then he'll just kind of stare and slowly put the popcorn
in his mouth. I'll prove it. I'm going to go to the movies tonight and have a bucket full of popcorn.
Bring a video camera with you.
Well, speaking
of pirating.
Yeah, of course. Speaking of Epic, I know some of our listeners were there because they printed off passes from the Facebook page. Right?
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so breakradioshow.com, and you go to the big F in the upper right-hand corner, takes you to the Facebook page, and I know there's several screenings there, and I don't know if you got a chance to post it the next one that I sent you?
That will be up today.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now You See Me will be up there. New thriller.
Yes.
Big cast. Mark Ruffalo, Isla Fisher, and just a lot of different actors in this thriller, and check that out after the show.
Absolutely. And every Thursday we do have a Breakthrough Entertainment on blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. That's B as in boy, T as in Tom, B as in boy, N as in Nancy. I asked Greg, did he know a Nancy? Do you know a Nancy?
I do know a Nancy. She's listening right now.
Really? Hello, Nancy.
Hi,
call
Nancy.
In.
Nancy,
hey,
up in Dewey.
Dewey? Where's Dewey?
Dewey, Arizona, up north.
Oh, Dewey ran for president. Or did he? Dewey
was before his time.
Oh, that's right. You look pretty young.
See, Eric's catching on. The Dave says these things.
The random,
the 60s,
what's it called again?
70s.
Random.
We have
random
no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's why you remind us of Doug Wilson, Kevin Nealon's character from Weeds.
Oh.
The pothead CPA.
Oh, that's just great. I'm a CPA. Let's put it that way.
Look at your hair, though. I mean, look at that.
What? My hair is okay. Eric, is my hair okay?
I love it.
I have no problem with anybody's hair.
Yeah, see? There we go.
Well, speaking
of... All right, what do we got today?
Well, speaking of our Thursday show, we had some great movies that we talked about on there, right?
Yeah.
We had... Blanca Nieves, remember what I gave that?
Absolutely, a breakthrough.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically equivalent to like a 5-star.
Yes, an outstanding. So one of the best of the year so far, in other words. So Blanca Nieves, and we also talked about Erased, which was not so good. That one was a thumbs down.
You erased it.
Yes, I did. It's already gone from my memory.
Yeah.
And also Love Is All You Need, we talked about.
Beatles song.
And also a movie starring Pierce Brosnan. So.
And then we had the great guest.
Yeah, we had a great guest, Bo Billingsley from Star Trek Into Darkness, which we're going to be talking about today with another guest.
I love Star Trek. Eric, do you love Star Trek?
I used to.
Oh, really? Not anymore?
It's been a while since I've watched any Star Trek stuff.
There's a new one that just came out Thursday, Into Darkness.
I know.
But did you like the old ones, though, with Captain Kirk?
I like the original television series.
Yeah, me
too. Even though it was really cheesy
by
today's standards.
Yeah, that's true. But then the movies came out. They were good. Okay, yeah. Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie.
Yeah, I
Greg called
trekker.
It a Trekkie or something,
trekker.
But it's a Trekker. No, it's a Trekkie.
Well, there's some.
I think I called it a Trekkie. I think you said Trekker.
Trekker, and our guest called it Trekmeister.
Trekmeister.
Oh, I'm the Meister.
Well, it makes
yes, you,
you
are
makes
a Meister.
Sound cool for liking Star Trek.
And a Miser.
I'm a Trekmeister. I don't know what it means. Sounds good. Okay.
Well yeah, so we've got John Cho. Unfortunately, these guests couldn't call in live today. They're very busy actors. So John Cho, who plays Hikaru Sulu, we've got exclusive clips from that interview with him that I conducted earlier, and also from The Iceman, which we'll also be reviewing a bit later, Michael Shannon, actor Michael Shannon. And then later on, we'll cap off the show with a review of Black Rock and a discussion of Black Rock, which is a movie starring Kate Bosworth.
We do every time when we review a movie, we get into philosophical discussions.
Yes, we get into the subtext, you know, because you're watching these movies, and I've got to tell you, I can't tell you what I thought of Epic yet, but it had some great subtext. So we'll discuss that next week. And I love watching these films, getting the subtext, getting the meaning out, and really diving deep and discussing it with you guys, and applying it to real life, and figuring out the real life implications of it all, and you know, because that's important, right?
And that's what makes Breakthrough Entertainment so unique.
Yes.
It absolutely does, and most filmmakers use that aspect, because I think for sometimes a casual movie audience, you just watch for the entertainment value, of course, a lot of people do, but there really is more to it, and that's a lot of times, you know, sometimes people bring that up, and people say, well, what are you talking about? But then you talk to a director or any type of filmmaker or writer, and they'll say, that's exactly what we were trying to do, aspect.
Think about this. Next week, in addition to, Epic is an easy one.
Sure.
We're also going to be talking about, because it's Memorial Day weekend, of course, The Hangover Part 3 and Fast and Furious 6. What kind of subtext are in those? I don't know.
We might be
challenged, but I guarantee something's there.
There's definitely something there. And
I love those two franchises, too.
You do? Which one's the best?
Oh, man. Well, The Hangover. You can't go wrong.
No. Fast and Furious.
They're both amazing.
No, I'm sorry. Fast and Furious.
You know what? We're going to have like a poll next Saturday.
We should.
See.
Absolutely.
Not too fast, young man.
Oh, you won't be here Saturday.
Yeah.
It'll just be Joseph and myself.
I may call in and sneak a call in. I got the phone numbers.
We'll tell Eric to disconnect.
I'm not afraid to use them.
We can change them, I think.
Okay.
But speaking of the phone numbers, in case anyone has seen Star Trek Into Darkness, since that's what we're going to be talking about here first, give them the number. I want to hear their thoughts, too.
602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. Call in. Talk about your favorite movie, if it is Star Trek. Or your favorite movie.
Yeah, we'd love to have them on and discuss it with them. But, Star Trek Into Darkness has been out since Wednesday night. So, I'm sure that quite a few people have had a chance to see it already. I believe that the numbers were pretty great for both Thursday night and Wednesday night and Thursday during the day. So I'm sure that it's doing some great business. But let me give you the synopsis here. Star Trek Into Darkness. Chris Pine reprises his role of Captain Kirk, who, after the crew of the Enterprise finds an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization, leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing. I think we've said his name a few times and we've mispronounced it probably every single time.
No, that's how you say it, I believe. And but we don't want to have Dave try to say it.
Cumberbatch.
He'll call him Cumber.
How did I say it? Cumberbatch.
Dave did pretty well.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But this guy's a great actor. I can't tell you what character he plays. I cannot confirm or deny anything. You have to see the movie for yourself. So, is it worth seeing? I know that you like the 2000. You're a Trekkie or a Trekker, whatever it is.
I'm a Trekkie.
Okay, but you're a lifelong fan.
Oh, lifelong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a fan of it.
I'm a Trekmeister.
And you like the 2009 version that J.J. Abrams made.
Yes, I did, with the very first prequel.
Yes.
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, and how about you, Greg? Do you like Star Trek? Did you like 2009?
I didn't see the 2009.
Oh.
Shame on you. So this is an entertainment show.
Although, with the cast, and maybe I'll go back, check it out, and then I'll see this one in theaters, but I never watched the old ones, reruns, or the old movies from back in the day, anything like that. No.
Okay. All right. Well, this is, I never liked Star Trek. I cannot stand Star Wars, and of course, J.J. Abrams is making Star Wars next.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he's made this.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Princess Leia?
I believe he's coming back. Yeah, you're confusing
RTD2?
Yes, all of them. That all qualifies as Star Wars.
Yeah.
Very good.
Darn.
You're still not going to win anything.
Okay.
But I am not a Trekker or a Trekkie or a Trekmeister, whatever you want to call
it. You're going to say but in a few seconds.
Yes. I found this. This is Star Trektacular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm sure that that's been used before, but
no,
I've never
given you credit for this.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
Pulitzer's, it. Pulitzer's award or whatever it's called. Prize.
Yeah. Beam me up.
yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a great movie, regardless if you like Star Trek or not. I mean, I thought the 2009 Star Trek was okay. I mean, but it still was like only for Star Trek fans is what I felt. This one, I think, finally cracks that code where it extends to people who have never liked Star Trek, like myself. And that's because it has a very universally appealing a classic theme here in terms of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, right? That we've seen that theme a
gotcha.
Lot.
Gotcha. Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. I mean, I think that's back from Roman days or something like that. I could be wrong. And but it also the emotionally heightened performance from Benedict Cumberbatch. This is a lot of fun for Trekkers and non-Trekkers alike.
How about Trekkies?
Also for those and non-Trekkies. I'm giving it a thumbs up. So I liked it.
Not a breakthrough?
Not a breakthrough, but it's a thumbs up. It's definitely a thumbs up. Some great action here. And again, I got a chance to speak with John Cho, who plays Hikaru Sulu. And I asked him what it was like to what the second iteration was like. What was the difference? And here's what he had to say.
I always think of doing a new movie as like going to a new school. You know, because I switched schools a lot when I was a kid, and half of entering a project is sort of like meeting everyone and learning what everyone's personalities are and trying to find your place in the group dynamic. And it takes a minute to do that, and it's always nerve-wracking. You know, it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month, just trying to find your place in the new school. And when you go into a project for the second iteration, you don't waste your time with that. You're right in, and it feels good. It's one thing to gather everyone back together for a film, but this is particularly strange because we're all wearing the same clothes again and we're in the same literal place again, so it's really an extreme sense of deja vu. But we actually started conversations that we had ended during the first one. It was unbelievable how quickly we sort of got back into the groove of things.
Yeah. Did you ever move schools a lot, Dave?
No, I never graduated from elementary school. No, oh. I did. I'm kidding. I went to college.
Awkward.
Yes, awkward. No, but no, I didn't move that many. No, I went to primarily only one junior high, one high school.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. You know, but I can still see what he's saying. How it, you know, even going from middle school or whatever it is to high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to find your place. It takes you a little bit of, you know. I think that's why that's the freshman experience, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you know, I think that was a great quote from him, and then also the character arc. Now, tell me what do you know, Dave? Since you are a Trekkie, as you like to call it,
not the Trekker. The Trekkie.
They're both right, for the record. tell me, who is Hikaru Sulu to you? What do you remember about him?
A sword. I remember Sulu had this sword. He was a sword fighter, and he was on the comm, I think it was called, and he would, you know, put the pedal to the metal.
Okay.
He would make the spaceship move.
Okay. Well, you know what? He really does make the spaceship move in this movie.
Hey, that was I right?
He actually gets to play captain.
Oh, he does?
He does get to play captain for a period. You know, he's a temporary captain of the Enterprise. You know, because they've got this very important mission to go on. So, you know, Chris Pine has to go out and actually do some action, you know, get involved, get his hands dirty. So I asked him about his character arc in this film, and this is what he had to say.
Well, he was a young man that was thrust into an insane circumstance. I feel like everyone's matured a little bit, has grown closer. They were all strangers at the beginning of the first movie, and one of the traits that, you know, we discussed from the first one that I felt like might be useful, accentuating in this one, was his ambition. That's something I personally thought about for Sulu. That I don't know if it showed on screen or not, but it was one of those things that I kept with me because I wish it had shown more in the television series. He wants his own ship. He wants his own situation. I think he got a taste of something that he can never forget now. Once you've had it, you can never go back.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, but I agree with him in the original series. And even the movies, I never thought he wanted his own ship. I don't think Spock wanted his own ship either because he liked James Kirk.
Yeah.
And Bones was a doctor.
Right. Right. Well, I definitely think that there's more to explore here. I know Dave and I, Greg and I are both looking at each other like, yeah, we have nothing to add to this.
Oh, that's why I had the looks. I should have kept going.
George Takei played him originally in The Great and then obviously now John Cho.
Yeah, but I have no idea, you know, what he was like in the series and stuff like that. So I'm kind of like,
well, he was good. He was a loyal, dedicated guy on the bridge, and and they go warp two, and he goes, okay, Captain. Oh no, was that the other guy? Oh, beam me up. I forget.
But I think
that was Scotty.
Yeah, but I think whatever situation you in, if you're the number two guy, or if you know you always
he wasn't
want
the number
to be,
two.
Well, whatever
it was, Spock.
Okay,
number two, please report to the elevator.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
but, you know, if you're the number eight guy, whatever you are.
Oh no, he was sooner than that.
Okay, whatever slot that he was in, he always want to climb to that next.
Yeah,
guy,
right? And that was a good insight. I had no idea. That was very good insight.
Thank you. And so then, I, of course, since we like to dig into the layers of these movies, the layers. Here is what John Cho has to say about the lesson that he learned.
It's questioning how easily we assume someone or something is good or bad. And being mature is not rushing to those judgments. I think that fits into what the movie is saying is, who do you label enemy and who do you label friend? I can't remember whether it was during filming or it was during rehearsal. JJ said something about wanting his son to watch this movie at some point. And I think what he was getting at was that there was something that the movie was saying about leadership and growth and maturity that might be something that he would want his child to think about. And I feel the same way now, I think. If I had to choose one of my films for him to watch, maybe this would be it when he's old enough. Because it has something to say about manhood and wisdom that I think would be good for him.
Yeah, so what do you think about that? What, you know, that's what I took away, that a whole, you know, how thin is the line between enemy and friend? Dave, what would you have to say about that?
Okay, this is what I'd have to say. In Godfather Part 2, Al Pacino said, be close to your friends, but be closer to your enemies. And that's the first thing I thought of. And that's coming from someone who needed to understand every move from his enemies, though. So it's not really applies to the everyday, you know, man or woman. Yet most of us are not we're certainly not in those situations as a godfather. However, it boils down to discernment. You have to have discernment, knowing the character and the true core values of who you deal with, in order to really know who to trust and who not to trust. Al Pacino, as godfather, had to have, his own brother executed because he couldn't trust him anymore, or he didn't think he could trust him anymore, even though the brother turned on him. So I think it's a matter of discernment. Fine line between enemy and friend. And I think the other things, friends can sort of change on you and flip on you if their core values are not very strong. Mm-hmm. If they're self-centered, that's a problem. That's part of discernment. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Very true. Well, you know, I'll agree with that. But I think that also it's about being subjective. You know, you really do have to determine who, in any given situation, who you want to side with. And I think that it's playing with fire, and I think that that's what the crew of the Enterprise find out in this movie. If you do decide that someone is an enemy, and, you know, for this situation, I'm going to call him my friend just because he's like the lesser of all evils, that's very dangerous. You know, what do you think, Greg?
Oh, man. Well, I what you said, Dave, I mean, I get and kind of agree with the times where, you know, keep your enemies even closer sometimes.
Yeah.
I, It's tough to say. I mean, I kind of agree with what you're both saying, basically. And so I think that's true. I think you almost have that respect for an enemy. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, you may not necessarily respect what they're doing, perhaps, but you got to have that mutual respect towards them, or that enemy is going to take you out somehow. If it's in the case of a movie characters, or an action movie, they'll take you out by, you know, killing you, or perhaps just in real life, doing things that are against you, basically.
Maybe. But who said this? All for one and one for all. Who said it?
Alexander Dumas.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, the characters were the Three Musketeers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. All for one and one for all. Isn't that the epitome of good friendship?
Yes.
Loyalty, dedication.
But would you really want to fight alongside your enemy?
Possibly, sometimes. If the enemy is taking out a bigger enemy.
But then who's to say that as soon as that enemy
that
takes
enemy
down
won't
the
come
other,
and get you.
Yeah, slit yeah. your throat as soon as that other guy is down.
It goes, well, that was like in Pirates of the Caribbean when they had the sword fight on the beach.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what this entire movie is kind of about. You know?
Well, I think it's good, but it boils down to discernment and yeah. really yeah. understanding.
I've got to be honest with you. Well, actually, first a question. Do mm-hmm. I have to see the first Star Trek to
no.
see this?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, good question.
You have made me greatly, and plus listening to John Cho on there, who earlier I Very said good. From American Pie, he was MILF guy number one. He is actually MILF guy number two.
I thought he
was named
one.
John.
We apologize.
No. Oh. Yeah, we do apologize about that. You might be confused. No, but I'm sure everyone knows who John Cho is. But it sounds like an outstanding movie, and, mm-hmm. and when you also mentioned that you don't have to be really a Star Trek fan to, you know, see it, but in general, from what I'm seeing and from what you said and what John was saying with some of the clips, this looks like a great movie.
Yeah. And speaking of Star Trek's appeal, you know, there are people who have loved Star Trek for a very long time. So this is our last clip from John Cho. I asked him what is it that is so appealing about, you know, and long lasting about the Star Trek franchise, and here's what he said.
I like playing Sulu. He's a cool dude. He's a stud, and he's more heroic than myself, and he's more capable than myself. And I'm going to state something that to me seems obvious, but it's fun flying a spaceship, and it's fun being in that world, and it's also an honor to be associated with a storytelling franchise that means something to people and is also, in my opinion, very hopeful and optimistic about humanity. You know, there's a lot of product that has a pessimistic view of humanity. Star Trek maybe has part of its enduring quality has a very hopeful outlook on our species. You know, it is people of different cultures and backgrounds getting together for a scientific mission in space, and I think it's maybe something that people need to hear.
Yeah. Would you agree with that? Is that why you're a fan of the franchise, is that it's a hopeful story?
Well, not only that, I love the character development in mm-hmm. the original Star Trek, where you had Captain Kirk, Spock, and Bones, where they seem to be a piece of one holistic, amazing person. So yeah. So James Kirk seemed to have logic like Spock and compassion like Bones, and Bones was all emotional. Spock was all logic, but it really turned out that each one had a piece of each other, and the character development was fantastic. Those three made the series. That's what I see.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely, you know, I agree with that. Okay. Having seen this film and having liked this film, so again, it is a thumbs up. Go out and see Star
Yay.
Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, I love to see that. That's one of my favorites, no doubt. Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break right now, and when we come back, are we going to review The Iceman?
The Iceman, and we've got some exclusive interview clips with Michael Shannon, the star of The Iceman.
A very underrated actor.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's in Superman as well this summer. Man of
Steel.
Oh,
Superman too. Plays or Superman also.
Yeah.
Not also. Superman too. Yeah, that's going to be great. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment here on 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment with Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Greg Isaac. I reversed it, and it made more sense.
Why did it make more sense?
Because I remembered your name.
Both ways.
It was Young Joseph, or Young Joe in Bonanza.
I don't mind being last. That's fine.
You're like Bonanza, Little Joe.
Okay. Again,
you never saw Bonanza?
Eric, you must have seen Bonanza.
That was a good show.
We know what it is, but
still watch it.
Yeah.
You still it's good, isn't it? I also like Big Valley. Do you like that, Eric?
I like that too, with Lee Majors.
Yeah.
And what was the girl's name?
Linda Evans.
Linda Evans.
She was on our show.
Linda Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was.
We had Linda Evans on our show.
Did you?
Yeah, she was nice. Yeah. She's a little older now, but still looks good.
Hey, Dave, who's the boss?
Oh, yeah, Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, the boss was Judith Light, who played the woman.
Oh.
Really? I want to shout out to my 2-year-old son, Mason, who is listening right now. He's been saying, go, Kings, go, I guess, for the last hour. So he's excited for tonight's NHL playoff action.
Hello,
so
Mason.
Shout out to you, Mason.
go, Kings, go. And he also says, oh, no.
His favorites. Well, he talks a ton now, but those are his favorites to say when he watches hockey.
And who's your grandfather?
Who's your grandfather? Sitting right over there.
Oh, okay.
We believe.
He's a cutie pie. Okay, so Iceman, is that what we're going
to
do?
Yeah, you don't want to take Mason to Iceman because this is about a hitman for the mob.
Yeah.
Right? So, probably not the best.
He's a pretty tough kid, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, Michael Shannon plays a man who, appearing to be living the American dream as a devoted husband and father, is a ruthless killer for hire. Other stars include Ray Liotta, Winona Ryder, Chris Evans, and David Schwimmer.
Great cast.
Yeah, really good cast. And I know that
David Schwimmer
from Friends.
Yeah, he was in the Olympics. He was a diver, though. He wasn't a swimmer.
Oh.
Was he?
Wow. And you know what? Let's give out the phone number just in case.
Dave's microphone.
If anyone wants to call and talk about the Iceman or any other movie, or just tell Dave that his jokes aren't funny.
Take a
swim. What's the number?
All right, 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. Call in and talk to us, and we'll talk about swimming.
And next time you tell a joke like that, the crickets will be calling.
Exactly.
All right. So, this is a great cast. And I before we, I tell you what I think about it, Michael Shannon, I know you said he's an underrated actor. What's your favorite films of his, Greg?
Well, I first saw him in Let's Go to Prison, comedy with Dax Shepard. And he played, one of the guys in prison, but he was a real tough bad guy. So I really enjoyed him a lot in that. Most recently, even though this movie I wasn't a huge fan of, I thought he did pretty well, is the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where he's on a bike whole movie.
Premium Rush. I love that movie.
You did? See, I didn't think it was horrible. And I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt and then obviously Michael Shannon as well. I thought they did great. I don't know. For some reason, there was a point where I got lost a little bit. And maybe it's because when I watched it on TV, it was late. Maybe I was getting tired. So perhaps that. But I thought in The Runaways, he was very good with Kristen Stewart.
Kim Fowley.
Yeah, oh, was he in The Runaway? Was he the agent?
Yeah. He was
He was good.
Oh, he's great.
And he's always kind of like a little bit off.
Right,
mentally,
exactly.
Right?
He plays the character great when he's like that. And, he plays a bad guy a lot or a villain. And I think in Superman,
He is General Zod.
Yes.
He is the bad guy of all bad guys. Forget the Joker. Forget
Lex
Luthor.
What's his nickname?
This is General Zod.
What's Michael Shannon's nickname?
Mike?
Bug Eyes.
Bug? Oh.
No, really? Yeah.
And
true.
Wasn't he in...
Bug Eyes?
No.
Yes.
Bug.
It's called Bug.
Yeah, Bug. Isn't that...
Oh, was he?
With Ashley Judd.
That was a great... That was a creepy film, but...
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Odd.
Yeah. But that,
oh, yeah, he was in Bug. Yeah.
So if you have not seen Bug and you want to prepare yourself for Michael Shannon's very crazy performance for this movie, that would be a great way to start.
He was in Kangaroo Jack. Bad Boys too. Yeah, Vanilla Sky.
I think that after you mentioned Kangaroo Jack, that Michael Shannon is disappointed that he talked to us for this film.
Yeah, you may not want to say Kangaroo Jack.
Oh, is that bad?
That
I never saw that.
A movie about a kangaroo.
Thing. Yeah, and you won't be.
Yeah. Oh, is it a bad movie?
It's about a kangaroo. I think that answers the question.
Why is it in his credits then?
Because, he was in it.
Oh.
All right. Well, anyway. Anyway, this movie solidifies Michael Shannon's status as a true powerhouse performer. He plays Richard Kuklinski in this film. Are you familiar with Richard Kuklinski?
No.
It's a real guy. This is a true story from the 1960s to 1980s.
Never heard of that.
It's a very large time span there. It's very authentic production, I will say that. It really gets the 60s through the 80s great. Chris Evans and David Schwimmer are unrecognizable in this film. You will not realize that it's them. I mean, unless you know it's them, and I just told you. But, they're great in this film, and it's a very compelling film. It's a very dynamic film, and the greatest part about this is it's a very complex character that Michael Shannon plays. I mean, he's chillingly dangerous, yet curiously charismatic. Right? Very, very, very interesting character. And I think that only Michael Shannon could have played this role. I mean, and this is a terrific role for him. And I was a little bit confused at the end. I did have to kind of go back and look at the real story and, go on Wikipedia or look up online and because I got a little confused. It kind of ended abruptly, but that's how his reign of terror, or however you want to say it, that's how it did end, very abruptly. So, but I'm giving it thumbs up.
Oh, good. Thumbs up now.
Yeah,
but not a breakthrough.
Not a breakthrough. You know, those are very few and far between. But I really did like this film. But before we have our little discussion about it, I did get to speak with Michael Shannon. And I asked him why he chose this role and how he chooses his role. And here's what he said.
Well, I seem to be drawn to characters who are struggling with something, who seem to have some sort of difficulty making their way in the world. And want to try and improve themselves in some way or overcome the obstacle that's in their path. I mean, with Kuklinski, what drew me to him is that he was a man full of rage and darkness and sadistic impulses, and yet somewhere deep inside him there was also a shred of caring and tenderness and wanting to have a family and be able to provide for this family and take care of them. And I've found the duality of that a very interesting challenge to play.
Yeah, so like I said, kind of complex, right?
Well, somewhat, but NLP, when we get into discussion stage, we'll be able to explain that.
Okay, all right, we'll get there. And, you know, of course, he had to do some research for this role, and it turned out that it was kind of easy for him, but he had a little bit of a rough start. Here's what he said.
I started to read one of the books that had been written about Kuklinski, but the director told me that I was reading the wrong one, that I should read the other one. And so I got frustrated and decided to read neither of them. And I just watched the interview that he did for HBO. I received an unedited version of the interview, which is over 20 hours long, and I would watch it repeatedly whenever I could. It's the same approach I used when I played Kim Fowley in The Runaways, or when I played Sergeant Dave Carnes in World Trade Center. These are the three real-life human beings I've ever played, and I've approached it the same way all three times. It's a very handy thing to have an interview with the person, because you can get a sense of their voice and their gestures, but also you can get a real insight into how they think and how they react to things.
And I think that that's what's great about Michael Shannon, is that he really embodies these characters as complex, as crazy as they sometimes are, as in Premium Rush. He really embodies them. He's almost unrecognizable because of his body language and his the way he reacts to things. So, you know, that probably helps when you do have that interview that you can watch. And so then, of course, when he told me that he did all this research, I asked him what surprised him most about this guy, this real guy, and here's what he said.
I was surprised by his sense of humor. People generally think of him as a very foreboding, frightening individual. Understandably so, but I think when you watch the interviews, particularly the unedited interviews, because what they showed on HBO, they were really trying to highlight what a monster he was, because that's what's exciting to watch, I guess. But when you watch the full interview, you really get a sense of he was kind of a charming person, someone that you wouldn't mind like having a beer with, you know, if you didn't know what he did for a living. You know, once you know what he actually does for a living, he becomes a little terrifying. But if that was a secret and you didn't know any better, you would just think that he was a good companion for, you know, an afternoon watching the game or something.
Imagine if you were watching the game and you later found out on the news that this guy that you were watching the game with was a killer.
Scary, happens, huh? All the time.
Yeah. Just a few people from your past, right, Greg?
just a couple.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I got so much out of this guy's performance, out of Michael Shannon's performance in The Iceman. He was, I imagine that it was very difficult, and I asked him about that difficulty, and if there were difficult days, and here's what he said.
There was never an easy day on this set. I mean, pretty much every day I went to work, I was quietly to myself, terrified, you know, because the character is so far away from who I actually am as a person myself, you know. I am not violent. it's not that I don't have a temper. I, like most people, I have a temper, but I would never in a million years do most of the things that he did. So it was all quite difficult, to be honest. It's the first thing I ask every day when we're done shooting is, where are we eating dinner? Yeah, we shot this movie in Shreveport, Louisiana, and all the restaurants closed ridiculously early there. So we basically had to rip off our costumes and get in a car before the restaurant closed, because I was usually starving. Because I don't eat much when I'm at work. I find it hard to, like, eat and act with food in my belly. So by the end of the day, I'm just want, like, a steak, a glass of wine, and then go to bed.
Kind of like me, you know. I like steak and a glass of wine, and then just go to bed.
How about you, Greg?
I love that, and I'm getting hungry. That happens every show. Food is brought up in one way or another. Thanks, Michael Shannon, for getting me hungry.
I like T-bone.
Yeah, you're placing your order.
Iced tea, but not wine.
Oh, okay.
You like Riesling, I think.
But I know people that do wine.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, take me to dinner. Okay.
Wow, okay.
That's a wine.
His ex-wife.
And finally,
wait, that's my mom.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, please. The views expressed on this program are explicitly of the host and the son.
Ouch. Finally, before we get you guys in too much trouble, our final clip from Michael Shannon.
Oh, line one says X.
Our final clip from Michael Shannon. What did you learn about yourself from this character? What did Richard Kuklinski teach you about yourself, Michael Shannon?
What happened to him, his life in general, was very tragic. And I don't think he came up with many answers, you know, himself. It's a pretty good example of why it's best to try and be who you are all the time in every situation and not, like, live a double life, you know. Just to try and find a version of yourself that that fits, whether with your family or whether you're at work, whatever environment you're in, whoever you're with, to be consistent. It's something that I strive for.
And, you know, so that's the theme that I took away from this film, that, you know, I it's a question. Are we capable of being consistent, or do our identities change depending on our environment, you know, work, family, friends, et cetera? What do you say about that, Dave?
Well, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, as people know, I'm a master practitioner, I should say, in NLP. They say, and it's true, everything is context-related, so you play the role, and or you are the role. Sometimes you're a dad, sometimes you're a brother, sometimes you're a boss, sometimes you're a co-worker. And what's interesting is that meaning has no meaning unless you know what the context is. So I think it's possible. Now, this is extreme. I'm not sure this would be a good thing, this extreme. However, it's I do believe that everyone has roles. A top-level CEO, CFO, could be one way at work, but with his family, his wife, his kids, could be maybe another way, gentler type of version of his tough nature CEO.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys know, my favorite TV show is Dexter, and it's similar, a little different, obviously, Dexter not based on a true story, and Dexter really only kills the bad guys. So basically he's a vigilante, but he doesn't do what Batman does.
Yeah, there's an example.
He puts them on a table and knifes them. But the thing is, he has his son at home, who he's great to, and everyone sees him just a nice, quiet Dexter. And
he had to try as a sociopath to learn to like his kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. And Charles Bronson, you know, the Death Wish movies, same thing. He loved his family, but he was out to get the bad guys. Now, I know
revenge.
That's... Revenge. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. So it's interesting. That's a very good topic to talk about.
Yeah, I find myself. I'm different around other people. I mean, especially on the radio, we are who we are. But I almost feel like I have this character, and I feel more comfortable when I'm in front of the microphone. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know if you... Do you feel that?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, when you're in front of the microphone, you know, you're on the air. And energy is very important when you're on the radio.
Well, it's like when our past guest a couple weeks ago, who was in the movie with Robert De Niro recently, Patricia Ray, I believe it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we had talked about Robert De Niro, how he's known as being very shy, which is fine. You know, a lot of us are. But you would never notice that with all the characters he plays, and that's where, you know, he gets his comfort level there, or even goes beyond it in some of these characters.
And I'm different around my my high school friends, and I'm different around my colleagues and critics and stuff like that. So, you know, I definitely see how that's very difficult, but we've got to try to find a consistency throughout all that.
Absolutely.
Well, but consistency within the role, though.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can have different roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... do you want to take a quick break now?
Sure, we can take a quick break, and then we can talk about Black Rock. We can end the show with Black Rock.
Yeah, Black Rock, another movie that you reviewed. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live here every Saturday on 1480 AM KPHX, and every Thursday from 2 to 4 on blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. We will be right back.
To help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you. At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on 1480 AM KPHX. And I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Joseph Erdo.
Yes.
And Greg Isaac.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Just kidding, Isaac. I did that deliberately. I really did that deliberately.
No, but he's really actually messed it up.
I should have said gay.
We got to get to our last movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, Black Rock. You know, I want to fit all this in here. Black Rock, is it worth seeing or not? Let's give you the synopsis. Kate Asselton, who also wrote and directed the film, with her husband, Mark Duplass. So Kate Asselton, Lake Bell, and Kate Bosworth play childhood friends who set aside their personal issues and reunite for a girls' weekend on a remote island off the coast of Maine. However, one wrong move turns their weekend getaway into a deadly fight for survival. This is a great film, Dave.
It is?
Yes, this is a thumbs
There's
up.
There's three thumbs up this week.
Yes, it's
unbelievable.
This is a really great thriller.
Yeah.
You know, it is a dynamite thriller. I will say that. It's also a bit deeper than most. You know, it's very exciting because it's an emotionally electrifying cat and mouse battle of will setup, and it also provokes profound thoughts about gender roles and putting aside differences for the simple sake of survival. I found it constantly surprising, deeply engaging, and incredibly exciting. It's a very bare bones budget. I know we were talking before the show about this, You said, you know, it depends on the production values or something like that. You know, it's not the most expensive film, but what they do with such a simple, bare bones production, and it's, you know, this complex contemplation of this, you know, these themes that they have going on. This is a really exciting, great thriller. Not too much blood going on. It's a little bit disturbing at the end, but I love this. I thought it was terrific.
Wow, good. And we got a text that we sound great on the phone app.
Yes, on the phone app.
No, we did. Yeah. Text and...
And so the theme here is life is short. If you are incapable of putting aside petty differences, it may be even shorter because these women don't, you know, they don't like each other. So what would you say how do you put aside petty differences to...
Well, there's a book
most
called...
Most women don't like each other.
No, there's a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff and Everything is Small Stuff. And so that's the lesson in life is that if you think about it this way, NLP talks about it's not the events of your life that creates your state of mind. It's your interpretation of the events. So you can have the power and the control to interpret events any way you want. You can think it's a disaster, certain things that happen, or you think it's manageable. And I always say that stress and control are inversely proportionate. So the more control you feel you have, the less stress you may have. That meaning, like, if you have more self-confidence, you have better skill sets. The key is to evolve and become your highest and best. That is the answer.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a small squabble, then you just put it aside. I mean, especially if survival is at stake.
And totally agree.
And I agree with both you guys. Insightful. I'll do the uninsightful. I'd like to see a fight between Lake Bell and Kate Bosworth, of course, that involves mud and bikinis.
Yeah, there's a lot of mud, and there aren't any bikinis in there.
Oh,
in this movie.
So sorry.
Seriously, there no bikinis.
Oh, that might.
And
be
you still
better.
Gave it a thumbs up. That's most remarkable.
Nothing at all.
Well,
yeah, Greg's getting it, Dave.
Yeah,
you're not, but
yeah,
that anyway.
Yeah.
Go,
no, I don't get
go
it.
Go see
but
all
why do you
three
think
of
the
these
table's
movies.
Raising.
So all three: Into Darkness,
Star Trek, Into Darkness, The
Iceman,
and Black Rock.
Wow, oh, so fantastic. A great movie for Memorial Day weekend next weekend.
Well this weekend.
This weekend.
Oh,
yeah,
oh this
Memorial
weekend
Day
too.
Weekend is next weekend.
Oh, yeah,
we'll be
where
talking
am
about
I?
The Hangover Part 3, Fast and Furious
Some
6,
more good ones.
And Epic.
Wow, there's a lot of movies. That's a lot of popcorn.
That's a lot of popcorn, yeah.
I love popcorn.
I'm going to get very, very fat.
No, you're not. Look at that. Popcorn. You got your Star Trek uniform
on. Yes, I
on.
Do have my Star Trek uniform on.
And, wow, this wraps up the show. Joseph Erdo, thank you. Greg Isaac, thank you. I'm Dave Isaac. This is Breakthrough Entertainment here live on 1480 AM KPHX, downtown Phoenix, Arizona. See you next Saturday, and everyone have a great weekend. See you next week.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.